Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. We're at Bankwest Stadium. Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires, Wendell Saylor, who is in our Brisbane studios as well. All ahead of what should be a terrific game of footy this afternoon. The Warriors here to take on the Eels. 3 o'clock, Stirler will join us at 2:30. All right, Dragons fans, I'll just get you the pain out of the way right now, because for a moment at the back end of that game, despite the first half efforts, in the second half the Dragons got back into it, looked like they were going to scramble a win, and then, sadly, this happened.
With 15 seconds left to go on the clock, it's gone away to Reynolds now, showing the ball, getting it to Walker. Walker away to Bird.
Oh,
got
yes.
The ball away to Graham, and Graham goes in.
Was that, oh yes, Stirlo? Was that Stirlo saying, oh yes?
Yeah, but I don't think he was trying to put a knife in the heart of the Dragons fans, but it was just the play, I suppose, in that moment. I think I said it before, Tone. Mm. There was so many variables at the end of that game, and I just, you know, yeah, you need to catch that kickoff, but unfortunately, Saab, I think he gets, you know, it was a contest. Could have went either way there, but
absolutely.
I just thought.
Yeah. As a big winger, Dell, what did you make of his debut?
Oh.
He's almost 2 metres tall. He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Well, look, I think the problem with the Dragons for a lot of this year, they're back three. There's just been, if you have a look at the real good sides like the Roosters and Melbourne Storm, there's a real trust, and even South, there's a real trust and real good communication between those guys. And last night, I think the Dragons back three, that's the best I think I've seen them play this year. I think there was only one mistake, and that was Saab's indecision at the end, which I'll be honest, even for an older player, you make those decisions. I think Corey Oates in the grand final makes a decision like that. Sometimes on instinct, you just turn and you want to get involved. So Saab, I think he did everything wrong. He carried the ball tough. Even though it was ball in goal, he made sure he picked it up and he tried to get out. Everything you want in a winger, he did on debut. Even at the end, that little mistake, I just love the way that he played. And the funny thing is, Campbell Graham presented him as Australian schoolboy jersey last year. You know, isn't that a funny little... And then he scores two tries on him. I think Campbell Graham said last night, he said, you know, it's good to get one back on him.
They had those four losses, South Sydney, through the Origin period, and then, you know, that's their second sort of grinding win, and they're just great ones to have in the bank as you sort of build into the back end of the season. They're just poised really nicely. I'm sure Wayne Bennett wouldn't like to have his team out there blowing sides away by, you know, 20 to 30 points at the moment. I think, you know, these sort of wins are crucial to, you know, building a campaign for a premiership, and don't forget they've got Johnston to come back in the next couple of weeks, Sam and George, and young Liam Knight, who is suspended at the moment, was doing some good things early on in the season. The form of Cody Walker, I think, over the past 2 weeks as well would be encouraging for South fans. Obviously dropped a little bit of confidence around the Origin period, and he's just slowly, his running game was back last night and he was always thereabouts. He was a lot more aggressive in defence and his kicking game was pretty good as well. So I think Wayne Bennett would be really comfortable with where South are at the moment.
Cody Walker was so good. He, you know, usually on the left, but was floating to the right side and gave that ball to Dane Gagai for his try, and then scored one himself. I think he dummied and got past Corey Norman. And Wayne Bennett actually gave a really interesting press conference, and he said he knew that Cody Walker's form would drop a bit after Origin. And he was questioned by a journalist, and he said, well, if you were rejected, how would you feel? Of course you're going to feel down. Of course you're going to feel rejected and undervalued. And that's, he said, part of the reason he gave Cody Walker the captaincy for a few weeks while Sam was out, because he thought that he needed that at that time, which just goes to show Wayne knows how to look after people, knows who either needs a cuddle, who needs to kick up the butt, how to get the best out of his plays, and it seems to have worked. And now Cody Walker's in that form that we saw pre-Origin, which got him that blues jersey in the first place.
Is there any word on Sam Burgess? Because that injury, you know, we've seen the drip and all those sorts of things, lost a lot of weight. And I still came into the studio a few weeks ago, I think, when we were doing from ANZ, and said how Sam looked then. But how is he? I know he's been training and back at training. What's the likelihood of him?
Yeah, Wayne said that he should be back next week. So it was funny. He was questioned. We went to the press conference on Friday and Thursday it was, and someone said, actually it was Zach. Zach said, so what about these rumours that he'll be out for the rest of the season? And Wayne said, well, you guys have just been making that up. Zach said, I haven't. And he goes, well, it's all your bloody mates in the coffee shops again just making stories up. He's not out for the rest of the season. He should be back next week. So Wayne, typical funny Wayne.
I was going to say, Wayne has been telling a few porkies of late himself, so, you know, how can we trust Wayne all the time now, you know?
Oh, that's true.
Spoken like a true son. I love it. What about the Dragons, though, Del, with Witt back? As you said, Corey Norman going to fullback.
Yes.
But Matt Duffy's an interesting one to play from the bench, a body that size. I don't know how that works, really.
No, I said that. Look, I know he can probably play one or two. If he can play fullback, he can probably play on the wing at a pinch, but he's too small. I reckon, you know, it's a bit like when they had Adam Quinlan. I think he's got one spot. You can't just put him into the halves, so... Look, I think, you know, I understand Mary. He was waiting to see where you played and see where to put him on. And, you know, in the last 4 or 5 minutes, you know, he was trying to be everywhere and do everything, Dufty, but it's just a hard position. You probably nearly have to put him back to reserve grade and carry utility or carry another strike forward on there.
All right. Well, as we said, for Dragons fans, it looks like it will be beyond them now to get to the bottom of that eight. But I guess playing to play for. Yes.
Oh, can I just say this? Look, I don't want to be picky because you know I'm a Bronco Dragon, okay? Yeah. But at the end of that game, I said there was. I love bragging. But there was two bits. Look, it happens all the time. But even if you go back and have a look at the Bunnies kickoff, he actually kicks it from on the other side. He actually wrong side of the line. So he actually doesn't kick it from – he kicks it from the Dragon side. So you know how kickers sometimes take an inch or two? So he sets it up by the other side. So it's an illegal kick. And then obviously when they've kicked it up and Saab, there's two players there and the third player's at corner there, the forward pass. So there's three bits of play, if you have a look at it, that could have easily swung back to the Dragon. So they're not getting the rub of the green.
Are you blaming the referees?
No, I'm not because you know what? You know, you go with it. But I'm just saying kickers sometimes push, you know, and even ask Gertz because he was a kicker there. Sometimes when you'd set up for a kick, you put it in a bit more. And I think Cam Smith, he's pushed the boundaries a few times, as Maxi Cruz will tell you.
Never in my life. It was a brilliant ball though by Braden Burns. I have to say, in those he had nothing to lose obviously at the time, and it might have come out of the hand a little bit forward. But Wayne Bennett's given that guy a lot of opportunity this year, and he's been repaid on every occasion. He's rock solid in defensively. He doesn't seem to have too many problems out there, and with the football, I mean, we're starting to see the best out of James Roberts. So we know down that right hand side, which is the south of always attacked down that left. They've been really strong down there. So we know they've got the firepower on the right, but everyone knows you need to be able to use both sides. And that combination now with Sutton, Cody Walker and Burns is starting to really sharpen up. And that was a big play by Burns last night. And Wayne Bennett, he's showed a lot of faith in him and he's getting repaid.
Yeah, plenty to look forward to for fans of the Cardinal and Myrtle. This is Saturday Triple M NRL back next with the Tigers and the Knights. We're at Bankwest Stadium, the Eels taking on the Warriors, 3 o'clock kickoff last night. The Tigers just pipped the Knights in Newcastle, 28 points to 26, looking at the Tyre Power scoreboard at Tyre Power. By four or more selected to be of Goodrich Tyres, receive a gift card up to $100. Nathan Brown wasn't very happy at all with what went on there. It was one of those games, 12-0 the Knights got away to, including that try from Kalen Ponga. Was just sensational, stepping around the entire team twice from about 10 metres out from the try line. Amazing, amazing footwork.
That was so good. But then Benji Marshall said, well, I've still got it too. And he did something very, very similar in the second half, wound back the clock. And it was that footwork we saw from Benji a decade ago.
It was brilliant. Last week when we were watching the game, Gerds at the SCG.
Yeah.
And you were talking, it's a recurring theme for you when you say, which player would you like to be? Who would you want to be? And because a couple of years for you, this is a game you play often. It was always Roger Tulloch.
Yeah, I love Roger. Yeah, I don't think that...
James Tedesco.
Teddy's good, isn't he? Yeah, I'd love to be as tall as Tommy.
Yeah.
I love the way that Manly play flat and fast with Tommy there at the back. I mean, it'd be one of those guys at the moment. I mean, they really are the superstars of our game.
And then Kalen Ponga comes into the equation as well, doesn't
he's
he?
Incredible.
The way he plays for
He's great. I love that last night. I can understand why, you know, Brownie was really disappointed with that. I mean, it was their night, wasn't it? Beanie for brain cancer round, Hoosie up there, and everyone that knows Boozy. Only has good things to say about him and what he's done and part of this organisation. So, it was their season was on the line. They started the game really well, but I just thought the Tigers were just more willing to defend their errors and had a better attitude in that game, which was kind of hard to understand because it was all there for Newcastle. And I think their mentality was really exposed. You spoke about Benji's try. It was a couple of minutes before half time, and Newcastle had just handed the ball over to the Tigers, and they needed to defend their line for about a minute. And we saw We saw the first play that the Tigers attacked their line. They went for, they tried to steal the ball, Newcastle. They had three in the tackle and they called, you know, eject or whatever they do. And one guy tried to wrestle the ball back. And then the ball goes to Benji, I think, on play two or three. And Kalen sprints out of the line trying to knock a football down or come up with a big play on play two and leaves his spot at the back. And then Benji steps through the first line and Kalen's not there. And I it just showed that they just seemed last night to look for easy options. And sometimes when you're a little bit out of form, like Newcastle have been, and you click into gear in the first 10 minutes, you just sit back then and think this is going to happen, and you sort of go away from focusing some of the little areas of the game, the areas that aren't so much fun, and thinking that we're going to put on a show, there's a big crowd here, this is sort of here for us. And the Tigers, well, they're a willing side that got told to harden up by their coach last week. Yep. And they had, you know, one of their club legends playing 300 games. And they haven't gone away. And I thought they showed that last week against the Raiders. The Tigers got dominated, didn't get out of the blocks against Canberra. But the whole second half, they dominated. They just couldn't score. And that's because of Canberra's defence. And Newcastle just don't have that sort of same attitude that the Raiders do. And the Tigers just came back all over them. And I think we'll all talk about the Kalen Ponga incident at the back.
Yep.
I called the game live. I couldn't understand what other options he had. And I think that, you know, the league, and when we speak to Graham, maybe he's going to be able to give the coaches and the players a solution to that situation of what they need to do, because a lot of it is instinctive.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have time to go, and there's nothing premeditated about what Kalen did. He's got his body. They're shouldering for the ball. And I think a lot of the decision that Perenara made last night was based on the outcome of the incident, where we saw, you know, Cheekham go down. I think he got sort of hit by Kalen during the incident. And then I thought a lot of that impact came from when he hit his head on the ground, which was sickening, and we wish him all the best. But I'm just not sure what fullbacks, especially after we saw Dufty sort of get the okay to do what he did last week against Penrith. Kalen apparently is not going to be charged today, but spends 10 minutes in the bin, and they lose an opportunity there, the Newcastle Knights, to come back and try and get themselves in the lead in, you know, the dying minutes of the game. I think we just need to all be told what the situation is, how, you know, what the game expects these guys to do. Same as with the Kikau incident. Like, this guy's going to get 2 weeks for what he did last week, and we don't want to see players get hit in the head. That's 100%.
But isn't it the whole the right way? The problem, though, Gerds, you're saying we should be told what's happening. So if to know what's happening, it basically has to be black and white. So therefore, do you change what happens in the in goal or in a try saving activity? Is that different to what happens 20 metres out from the try line, 30 metres out, coming up from your own end, where, you know, the impacts are just as brutal, all that's going on, the desire to stop a player from moving foot past you is just as intense, yet in a try saving action, that rules change?
Fullbacks get themselves in positions, Tony, especially sort of what we saw. The Dufty one's a classic one,
yeah.
where he's coming across. You know, you got to put, you know, sometimes your arms in those situations aren't strong enough to pull off the desired effect, and you need to get your whole body and your weight, especially on smaller guys like Dufty. And by doing that, you know, you get both arms, both shoulders and everything behind the impact. And that way you can then conjure up enough force to then try and dislodge the football or push the guy out. If you went over there with one arm and one shoulder and only half your body, you're not going to get the desired effect. So I think in that situation, instinctively, players need to do whatever, and they will, and they'll continue to do whatever it takes in try-scoring situations to stop the try, because that's a fullback's job. And I think the same with Kalen last night. There was, I think, three or four guys all racing for the ball in a crucial stage with, you know, two team seasons on the line, and it was a mess. And there was no intent from any of them. They all just wanted to get a result. And I think that needs to be, and that's why he hasn't been charged.
I get it.
But the referees, and it probably wasn't Perenara's fault, because there's guys up in the box that had plenty of time to look at it, because we saw that the Cheekham went down for probably about 5 or 6 minutes because he actually ended up getting taken off. So they had plenty of time to look at that, and I think common sense should have come into play, and that should have been, I think, play on, and Newcastle should have had a 7-tackle set, and we should have been back into the game.
It's never, Tony, you're right there. It'll never be black and white ever. There's always going to be grey areas, because every rule on the field, there are grey areas, but it does seem... And some people, Wayne Bennett spoke about it during the week. He said he believes that the impact on the player, how injured they are, and whether or not they stay down and try and milk the penalty, that has been coming into play as well. So he said, I'd like to see us get rid of that. And again, you want the players to be protected no matter whether they're trying to score a try or whether they're in the middle of the field. But perhaps we have gone too far from the whole reason that the rule was brought in to eliminate the shoulder charge, which is, you know, when a player has, you know, their back has already turned, they're not still engaging the line. So maybe it has gone slightly too far, perhaps, but it's never going to be black and white, I don't think, ever.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Del, what did you make of it?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, we obviously play contact sport, but I suppose I'm coming from a different angle where I liked, at the end of the game, you could see Callum Ponga was worried about the player as well. Like they said, oh, do you think, you know, it was a shoulder charge? You don't know sometimes because, as Gerd said, you know, mate, you're just trying to, you're trying to protect the ball, or you're trying to, you know, you're competing for the ball. There's three or four players. Because I was in transit last night and I was looking at the highlights and that, but then when I got back to the hotel room, I saw, you know, the incident. It's too hard. They've got to be just consistent with a rule. And it's good to see that Michael Cheekham's going to be all right, but you could just see that Callum Ponga, you know, he felt that bad, and it wasn't something that was done intentionally. So hopefully we get it right, because once again, you know, it's a grey area in the game.
As we said, we'll speak to Graham Annesley a little later in the show, and just confirming that Callum Ponga obviously was sin bin there for those 10 minutes, but he hasn't been charged and won't be heading to the judiciary. He won't miss any more football. Nathan Brown will be happy with that. He wasn't happy about anything else that happened really on the field last night. In fact, it was one of those post-game press conferences where you could see he was seething and talked about the likelihood of there being changes. Have a listen.
A couple of people have thought that it's acceptable not to put the right effort in, I'm not sure. We've had a lot of changes in the past sort of four or five that have been forced, but there'll be certainly some changes next week that are going to be unforced changes. That is 100% guaranteed.
So there you go. When he's 100% guaranteed, there will be changes. So it'll be a nervous wait for a few of those players, you would have thought. When you hear the coach say that, Del, that put a little bit of wind up you?
Oh, especially when you know that, you know, I think they were up 12-0, and also, you know, he's probably thinking Nathan Brown halftime last week done that game, and some players didn't come out and play, you know, stick to the game plan and obviously put that effort in. So, and I've been coached by Brownie, and you could just tell he wasn't real happy then. And some players, you know, will be put on notice whether they're making the same mistakes, whether they're not making the efforts, because now Newcastle, they're a chance of going out the back door now. You know, they won that six or seven in a row, and at the moment, as Callum Ponga was saying, there's just, you know, whether it's, you know, a few players or there's just blokes not making that effort. And when you get up to a lead like that, sometimes you think it's just going to happen. It can be the worst thing for you sometimes, because then you invite the other team back into the game. That's what the Tigers did.
Well, they've got some players playing pretty well in their reserve grade team as well. Like Aiden Guerra had a pretty big stint out with injury, and he's been back for a couple of weeks. So I'm sure he'd love to be back in the first grade side. Jacob Saifidi also returned a couple of weeks ago, got a shot at first grade when a few of their Origin troops were out. So he's another one that can come back into the side. There are lots of players there, and they've got tough games. They've got Manly at Manly next week, and I think the Eels the week after. So, yeah, you'd be scared if you were anyone in that side, imagine.
Indeed. All right, ahead we're going to speak with John Morris, the Sharks coach, after they had a win on Thursday night. Plus, who does he play for? The final instalment of the quiz that is just gaining traction all around the Southern.
Did you say the final instalment?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Have you run out of players that you may not know?
That we might not know.
Yeah. Is that what it's at?
It's
would imagine that would happen at some point. Hey, I think we should also touch on the Tigers too when we come back, because we spoke about Newcastle, but it was a great win by the Tigers.
Continue
ready
now.
To go?
Yeah,
well,
tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, it was. I mean, it was. They had a lot to play for. Their season was also on the line, coming off what's been a pretty disappointing couple of weeks after they came out in this stadium here at Bankwest and put in a really strong showing against the Premiers, the Roosters. And I thought they were sort of going to, you know, continue on in that vein, but they haven't. And they were pretty poor last week against the Raiders in certain areas. And he made some changes. Your brother was one of them. Sorry, Em. And look, and he put the onus back on the players, and they were down 12 points, and they just hung in there, and they completed high. Their defensive attitude was really good. They still leaked a few points, but Newcastle have a way of, when they click with guys like Ponga and Pearce and that, you know, they can come away with some points. But I thought the attitude of the Tigers was there, and I thought they deserved to win that game, even though it was really close. And I have to say, I reckon Luke Brooks has been their best player all year, and he doesn't get a lot of the accolades, because, you know, we talk about Benji and we talk about obviously Robbie and the like and Moses Mbai, but I think Luke Brooks has probably been their most consistent performer over the last couple of years. And I really think, you know, Madge McGuire is having a great impact on the way that he goes about his business on a weekly basis. And I think Luke, over the past sort of 5 or 6 years, has really been, up until last year, like really up and down certain parts of his game. But defensively, he's really good now. He's probably, he's their best running attacking player. He did, you know, when a moment was needed to be produced last night, he was the guy that got the football and came up with something, whether it was a nice short pass, turning some players back in the inside, or just busting through with his own speed and brilliance and setting up tries. And his kicking game is fantastic as well. I reckon he's in great touch at the moment.
We got Dally M halfback of the year last year, so that was the first time where we really did see him, I guess, feel really comfortable in his own skin. And then the sort of 5 years before that, when he and Mitch Moses were playing together, I know a lot of commentators and former players were saying, oh, well, do they work well together? Whose team is it exactly? But it seemed like when Ivan was there last year and he said, this is your team, and really put that confidence in him, it took his game to another level. And, last night, he was really good, and he put Corey Thompson through for that second try as well. He's doing a great job for the Tigers.
Girls, yeah, you're right there. But also, I think Emma, you just said it then. Corey Thompson is a player to me. When you look at Corey Thompson, in the last couple of years, you thought, oh, yeah, you know, you'll play first grade, but you'll probably play a bit of reserve grade and that. But every week he puts in, and even when they lose, he's always making the effort. There's nothing that big about him. He's got a big heart. That's what he's got, and he puts himself in the position all the time in defence and attack, works off the ball. You know, any young fullback's coming through, I know Tedesco sets a standard, but have a look at a guy like Corey Thompson. Every week he gives everything to be there.
Robbie Farah, 300th game in the NRL. He scored a try. Benji, his good mate, who notched up 300 last week, he scored a try. First time they both scored a try in the same game.
Is that
2011 the last time that happened. So it was great to see him do that. I'm wondering, given there was a little personal spat that was going on between Rod Reddy and Robbie Farah in the lead up to the game, including the tweet or whatever it was from Rocket, former Dragons player, saying that they had basically 4 or 5 NRL players and the Tigers and the rest were reserve grade. Is that might have, would that have got a, you know, a little airing at all amongst the players?
I definitely think it would have. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it did, but I imagine it would have. And I just think that's, for a grown man, that's a pretty immature thing to say. He might say Robbie shouldn't have brought up Jason Taylor, and when asked about it said, I've moved on. But to come out and say something like that, and if you're your aim was to attack Robbie, he didn't just do that. He then attacked the entire West Tigers squad. So I thought that was...
He burnt the whole house down.
Oh, that was just completely unnecessary. But then I've seen, you know, some punters go off at Rod Reddy and say, mate, you're old, go away. So it's been entertaining seeing what everyone's been saying on social media.
Yeah, great theatre. That's what it's all about,
really. It is. And I can understand, like, Robbie, because, you know, it's so close to his heart the way he got moved on. And then, but to see them come back, and Jason Taylor actually has been quite good because he hasn't said anything. He's just moved on coaching North Sydney in reserve grade like he is. And well done to Robbie anyway. I'm really proud.
That's just a drive-by.
What would you make?
Why would you do that?
I'm really proud of Robbie, so well done, Robbie.
No, in Robbie's defence, so after that comment was made in a paper interview, and then because of what then others maybe had made something of that comment, then in other interviews he did later in the week, he said he had asked, please don't have that JT stuff in it. So we realised maybe it caused a bit of a stir and said, please, from now on, he refused to... have the JT stuff.
2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we'll chat with Robbie Farah and see what he has to say.
Tones, just a quick one.
Yes,
Robbie. Remember when I was a bit wounded that day I came in? Remember I wasn't at my best? And then
occasions are you talking about?
Oh, please. You know what I didn't really say? I think all I said was Robbie Farah scored a try. That's all. Mate, and Jason Taylor got on and he didn't miss me. And then he brought up my name and said something. And I was just going, mate, just leave me alone, mate. I'm wounded today, mate, you know? So don't worry.
That was your single contribution.
So
to
are
the
you saying
show.
You don't like Jason Taylor, Dill?
No, Jason Taylor, I'm fine. No, I'm only living out a run over him, so there's no problems there. So yeah.
Who does he play for is next, Saturday Triple M NRL. We're at Bankwest Stadium, where the players for the Canterbury Cup match have just arriving on the field here. Picture looks perfect for a game of footy this afternoon. Hard, fast track at this wonderful stadium in the heart of the city. Wentworth for the Magpies and the Warriors. Kickoff yet to come. Both run out in the beanies for brain cancer beanies, which is terrific. As I said, if you haven't done so already, get your beanie at Lowe's, at IGA, of course, at the ground. Get down to any ground, watch a great game of footy, and put in some money for a great cause. Already raised $2.6 million. All right, this is just one of the great segments, has been for the past 3 weeks. Have a listen to the opener, even is brilliant.
Triple M NRLs. Who does he play for?
Is this the first time we've had an opener?
No. Gee, where's your attention span? When was the first time we've had an opener?
Did we have that the last 2 weeks?
We've had an opener the last 2 weeks. The exact same opener. Did we?
I think last week I was
What chance do you have of actually competing in the competition if you haven't even noticed that we have an opener?
Last week I think I was concentrating on the fact that... I hate to bring it up again, but I think Gerds was cheating. Remember, he was looking.
Yeah, he was cheating.
Was cheating. Yeah.
You dubbed him in three times.
Were you did you copy off your student next to you if they're better than you?
Is that considered cheating?
you've done it again. Close.
No, there's a game on here, Tony, and I want to learn about the new players coming through.
All right. For those who haven't heard this wonderful, wonderful segment, what we do is I say the names. Each of them have five players. They have to tell me. And they're obviously, many of them are players, but they've all had to have played an NRL game. But they may have only played once. But they're still involved in... So you have to work out what club they play for. Okay, Emma Lawrence, are you ready?
Yes.
Rhys Robson.
Oh,
Dragons.
First grade.
Please. Yeah.
And he might be going to the Cowboys with
you. Yeah, big chance.
Bonus point.
Yeah, we do.
Oh.
Callum Watkins.
Oh.
Callum Watkins. With a K, if that helps. Not in Watkins, obviously, but in Callum.
Time's up.
Storm?
Yes. No, the Titans making his debut today. Royce Hunt. What a great name.
Oh, that's Ben's brother.
Sounds like a private investigator, Royce Hunt.
I don't know that one.
No. Raiders, one out of three. Keenan Palacia.
Ah.
Oh yeah.
Played,
yeah, of course.
Trouble at the mill. It is the Broncos.
Broncos. Oh, I just said that.
You did.
I just said that.
Just no.
Milliseconds after I did.
Oh, I said that the same time as you.
No, you didn't. You're a
liar.
Shut
up, Del. You're not even here.
Who are you, the narrator? Just be quiet over there. Up in Brisbane.
Prodigal son returns home.
Was it bunting out signs in the streets for you? All right,
yeah,
here
of course.
We go. And the final one, Issy Nasirani.
Oh.
You know this one, don't you?
Isn't he a rugby player?
Yes, he is. He's playing for the Wallabies.
Yes.
Bang! In the test match tonight.
He's pumping for a poor 2 out of 5.
That is brilliant. 2 out of 5. Okay. Ryan Girdler.
She didn't say what team.
Ryan Girdler, stop us.
No, but it was a trick question.
Okay, Tony. Okay, let's go.
Blake Ashford.
Oh.
Well, Blake's playing today for the Warriors.
Correct. Oregon Kafusi.
Kafusi, Oregon. Lovely timber. I do know that. I'm going to say the Dragons.
Eels. Tino Fa'asamu'uluia.
Melbourne Storm.
Yes.
Yeah, he played the other day.
Oh, brilliant work. Okay, so that's two.
Yep.
Nikolai Topper-Stanley.
Topper-Stanley.
Yeah.
It's unique. I think I'd remember that one, so I have no idea. So I'm going to have a guess and say the Raiders.
Newcastle Jets, soccer.
Oh,
knob.
Yeah, I agree, mate.
Absolutely.
You got a wallaby.
Nah.
You got a wallaby.
I've got a Newcastle Jets.
You got a wallaby.
Yeah, you're Jets taking
kicked
that
out of the A-League in 2013.
I'm not going to play.
You got one more to go. How many has he got? Two? Two. Okay.
Just for the win?
For the win. No. Del hasn't even
exactly.
Started.
For the win.
Good. You're such a... You know what? You're so full of yourself, mate.
What is it?
Okay.
Sebastian Chris.
Ah, you're really... Chris.
With
Sebastian
K. With
play,
K.
Sebastian plays for the... I'd like to say the Roosters, but they don't have any local juniors.
No.
Souths.
Raiders.
I said the Raiders.
By the way, I really did say Broncos before you.
No, Emma, move on, Emma. Go away.
Emma, listen.
Yeah.
The umpire's call is final, okay?
That's just right.
Do you want to go to the tape?
No, it's like the Dragons last night where a few calls went against them. But that's all right. They'll cop it on the chin and miss the final.
Tony, by the off...
You really are bitter and twisted, aren't you, about this kind of stuff? I love it.
By the off chance that Wendell doesn't surpass two, is there a... Do you have a playoff
question?
let's cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
This segment's all gone I'm on so long, is my music's gone.
Maybe just prepare one.
I'm not getting a fair go,
yeah. Given previous results.
People are rattling me here.
I know. Are you feeling a bit flummoxed?
No, I'm not, no.
Okay, all right. Okay, Wendell Salo, you ready? Adam Pompey.
Adam Pompey.
correct. Warriors. Tom Amone.
Tom Amone, yes. Manly?
Souths. JJ Collins.
Warriors?
Raiders. Renouf Ta'amaga.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, Renouf.
let me see. This is the best segment.
Tigers.
Bulldogs. Matthew Wilson.
Oh, mate, I'm going to go on 5 year.
plays badminton.
Titans is incorrect. He's in fact he's an Australian swimmer. He equaled the 200 metre breaststroke world record at the World Cup. Zero.
What a shit game. That's all I want to say about that. Okay.
I don't want to play that game anymore. Yeah. Now he's been a sore loser.
I'm with you, Del.
I'm boycotting that game.
And finally, you can use your names as your buzzer as your playoff question. Gerds and Emma, you ready to go?
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Max King.
Leroy. Emma.
Yes, Leroy.
Max King is going to come in and play for Newcastle.
Emma, you're the winner. It's the Storm.
Josh King. Good. Why would you let her win? I don't want her to win.
Have we been nominated for the Radio Awards?
Because I'm a gentleman, segment? Wendell. I'm a gentleman.
Oh, that's awesome. You're a great winner, Emma. Very humble.
John Morris is next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. There would be shiny, happy people in the Shire after that much-needed win. The Sharkies 14-point victors over the Cowboys on Thursday night. We're joined now by Coach John Morris. G'day, mate. Congratulations.
G'day, guys. Thank you. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Look, we better get to the new big news story first. We're hearing that the Prime Minister and, of course, the Sharks' number one ticket holder suffered some kind of Team Song-related injury from the dressing room, a bit of banging the fist on the esky. What's the story?
Yeah, well, mate, just got carried away. I think it's been a while since we belted the song out, so it's always have ScoMo on the sheds, and I think one of the boys challenged him to step forward and set the tone on the esky, and he give it a fair run.
Those soft politician hands didn't work out for him. I love it. Good win, though, for you guys. You must have all felt in the mood to celebrate because, it's, as I said, much needed.
Yeah, it was fantastic scenes. As you said, afterwards, it was just, you know, we couldn't have come away with any other result than the win. And, you know, I was sitting up there in the box at probably, I don't know, it was about 63 or 4 minutes, and we were down 14-4. And I was pretty happy with the way we were playing. We started, you know, pretty slow, but I thought we were dominating and building some pressure on them, but we just couldn't make them crack. Our wingers got thrown into touch a few times, and we got a forward pass called back from Sean Johnson. And, you know, it's funny because we just spoke about playing through them and, you know, stop trying to go around them in the greasy conditions. Then all of a sudden, Dugan goes through them, and then Cherry comes back on the inside, and we put the game to bed. So it was really good to, finish them off and get a crucial 2 points for us.
Hey, John, it's Emma Lawrence. We spoke to Gal after the game, and he was saying that, you know, he led that session during the week and told the boys they've got to put in more effort and let's not get caught up with certain plays. It's all about effort. That's what's going to win this. And he led from the front. How good was it to see Gal with a performance like that?
Yeah, and he was outstanding. Like, you know, I've seen Gal do this a few times throughout his career where he just grabs the team by the scruff of the neck and leads from the front. I think he's had an interrupted last few weeks. He's been out. He had a glute hemi injury and he's sort of been struggling to get on the field and, you know, he probably hasn't been happy with his input. So he really wanted to have a big one. I could just sense it during the week. I mean, you know, there wasn't certainly any crisis meetings or whatnot what's been reported, but I think, you know, Gal, in no uncertain terms, rallied the troops and, told him what he expects of them. So it was a real good captain's knock. And, you know, to punch out over, I think it was 60 minutes, nearly 240 metres gained and 37 tackles at the age of whatever it is, 48, was just amazing. I gave him a big rap after the game in front of the team because, you know, if we don't have that effort from our skipper, we probably don't get the job done this week.
Hey, Johnny, Wendell Saylor, mate, congratulations on what you're doing at the moment, especially bringing these young blokes through. 18, 19, I mean, I know you've worked with a lot of these kids through the system, but there's a real trust. I can see when you pick them and obviously, you know, you give them their debut jersey, there's a real sort of trust each way. So, mate, for you, when's that defining moment where you think, you know, this kid is ready to play?
Yeah, Dale, probably, you know, for me, it obviously started a number of years ago when I finished in 2004. And my first role was to sort of help build an elite pathway program here at the club. And part of that very first year that we did it, 15, they won the under-16s and the under-18s.
Yeah.
Not only the New South Wales Championship, they went on and won the national final, which is pretty crazy for a little club like Cronulla to be, you know, the most successful team in the country. So in those teams, there was the likes of, you know, Blake Braley and Kyle Flanagan and Billy Magulius. And it's amazing now that we've, you know, from where they started, have gone through and have, you know, handed them the NRL jersey. So it's just been really not a proud moment for me to be able to do that. But, yeah, I don't know, mate. Probably they've had some pre-seasons with the NRL squad the last couple of years, and that's where you really see them rubbing shoulders with their NRL players. And I suppose there's a point there at some point where they're probably not treating their teammates as much as idols, but just as, you know, it's just like any other teammate. And when I sort of see that, I see that they're comfortable training and standing up with the big boys at training, you kind of know that they're ready to go.
Hey, Bomber, they say that you don't know what it's like to be a first grade coach until you've lost five in a row. Now, you've been through that recently. I'm sure you've learnt a lot about yourself and the job. What about one of the other tasks that has been sort of on everyone's mind lately, balancing sort of team harmony and individual expectation? How are you going with that?
Yeah, it's pretty good, mate. Like, you know, we're real tight. We're a real tight group. And, you know, I was probably a little bit upset, actually, during the week when there was some suggestions that there was a bit of drama in the camp. But we're really tight. And I think that was kind of all put to bed, you know, to win that game in the 68th minute with, you know, without Wade Graham, without Moylan and Fafita on the weekend, to win that game shows the team spirit that existed in the club. And, you know, we've got a different-looking team at the moment with some players. We've got a lot of young blokes, as I said. We've got more debutants this year than some guys who played grand final in 16. So, I mean, it's not just as such a changing of the guard, but until we get all our experienced blokes out there leading from the front, we've got to get these young blokes through. And they're kind of getting to round 20 now, where the Cherries and the Coras and Braley's are starting to sort of realise what it's all about. So, you know, it's been a challenge. I think someone said to me, you know, you're not living until you've lost three in a row. So let alone five in a row, that was certainly a challenge for me. But, you know, it was just good to you know, just keep believing in your systems. Everyone had an opinion of what we should be doing and who we should be picking and how we should be playing. But at the end of the day, we just, you know, stayed true to ourselves and our systems, and we got a crucial 2 points because we haven't been that far off. As I said, we lost four games by 2 points or less in those five losses. So we just had to keep believing what we're doing was going to get us out of it.
Speaking of balancing act, it is a bit of that every week for Sean Johnson, isn't it? People criticise him if he, you know, they want him to see him running, but they want to see him guide a team around the footy park as well. He got the mix pretty well on Thursday night, didn't he?
Yeah, he was outstanding. He was probably the best, actually. After sitting back and watching it again, you know, just his control of the game. I think he had 11 kicks, and all of them were, you know, for high kick finishes. He had a couple of line breaks, two try assists. 21 tackles, didn't miss any. It was just really in the moment. That's the game I've been hoping for Shawnee to get. But I think I must acknowledge, like, we gave him a chance to play in the weeks, you know, previous, where he's been, I suppose, criticised. We've been turning the ball over coming out of our end, and against the Warriors last week, we only had two tackles inside the opposition 20. The week before, we had seven inside Melbourne's 20. So he just really couldn't grab the game by the scruff of the neck and you know, put his class on the game. So I think just everyone saw what he can do, and he knows that he probably hasn't been where he wants to be, but he's certainly he's always had some really getting that consistency now, and I think that game will definitely do a lot for his confidence.
Hey, Johnny, I know there's always heroes and villains in your team and the fans. Andrew Fifita, you know, he's one of those guys where, you know, I know he's a bit of time away at the moment, but he's so good for your team. But also, I got to say, when we're calling the game, Josh Dugan, at the start of that game, you know, the first one, he sort of loses the ball. The second one, I think we've all done it as a back three. You tried to kick the ball out and he misses that. And then you're just thinking, mate, is he on tonight? And then all of a sudden, makes a line break, scores a try, you know, just the theatre of it. How's it been with Dugs, mate? Because, I mean, we know when he's on, he's certainly some sort of player.
Yeah, he's going, you know. as you said, when he's at his best, he's one of the best in the game, and he brings so much to the team. But he obviously has had a couple of errors in his game as well this year. But I think you've seen, as we all have, you know, our back five have had a lot of errors this year, which has put our team under the pump. So he's no sort of different to the rest of them. But I think he's had a much more consistent year, and he's much more resilient now. And a lot of that's off the field. Like, he obviously had some dramas there last year, which he's been public about. And I'm seeing a much more stable Josh Dugan, and that's been reflected in, you know, he's played all but two games this year, and he's played a lot more centre. I think he's, if you look at his stats alone when he plays centre, he's right up there as far as his metres gained and his tackle breaks and whatnot. So he's always been a handful for opposition to Dugan. It's just about getting that consistency in his game. And I was proud of him on the weekend to have over 200 metres gained and a try. And as I said, we missed him the week before against the Warriors. So I've been supporting him a lot this year because I can see some progression in him on and off the field, and hopefully he has a big rest of the year for us.
And what about Matt Moylan and Wade Graham? When can we expect them back?
Hopefully this week. Both of them with hamstrings, so that, you know, they're just those ones where you just don't want to risk. So Moylan was a little bit short this week because we had the short turnaround from the Warriors into the Thursday night game. So he's just going through his rehab protocols, and while Wade, I couldn't, you know, take a trick there. He just popped his hemi in that origin as a decider, and he'll be hopefully on track too. But you know, again, we can't risk him. Otherwise, if it happens again, they're probably gone for the rest of the year.
The Sharks have had an identity over the last couple of seasons, Bomber, as you know, being that side that just like to get into the fight and scrap for their wins. And we saw a little bit of that, obviously, for your win this weekend. Sean Johnson comes into the side. He's a player that obviously brings just a lot of individual brilliance and hasn't really been part of an organisation that operates like that. And I guess from an outside perspective, and for you, it's about getting all those personalities in and making them sort of believe in the DNA and the character of what the Sharks are. Do you see the Sharks in that way, or, you know, do you want to get your fingerprints all over the way that this team play, and do you want to change, you know, what they've been and bring in players like Sean and change their style and become a different footy side?
Yeah, good. I certainly wouldn't want to change all that, you know, that grit and that DNA. I mean, I played over 100 games for the club myself, and, you know, I was here, and even, you know, Ricky Stewart was here in 2010, and you know, you pull a Sharks jumper on, it was kind of, you knew what the expectations came with it, and it was a play like that. You know, that was led all of those years with Gallen and, you know, Greg Bird and those types of players that you should get under the skin of the opposition. And now that's certainly still within this team and within this club. It's just that we have had some leaders who haven't, you know, got on the field a lot this year. I think five out of our top six players on the salary cap have missed a combined 40 games for us this year. So,
yep.
And that's what I said before. Like, we've got, on the weekend, we had five debutants out there on the field as far as their first year of footy. So, you know, those younger guys are certainly learning what it's like to consistently play that way. And that's a high-energy way to play. And, you know, you want to play physical and aggressive. And, you know, you can't play like that if you're making errors at the back of the field and defending your game. And that's what we've been doing. We've got the worst completion rate and highest errors at the moment, so we just haven't given ourselves a chance to play that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we certainly, parts of it returned on the weekend, and then, you know, with Wade Graham coming back into our side, hopefully next week he'll really lead from the front in that area, and you'll see a much, you know, hungrier and grittier side against the Rabbits on Saturday.
Hey, Johnny, this is a tough one for you, mate, because I know you brought a lot of those young kids through, but Cole Flanagan moving on to the Roosters, that's a tough one for you. You can't keep everyone, I know that.
Mm. Yeah, it was, Del. Like, Kyle was contracted for another 2 years, and I made it pretty clear that I was keen for him to stay. But, you know, the request did come from Kyle and his management to pursue another opportunity. Obviously, with Kronk going, there was kind of a starting spot there, you know, waiting for him. So it was, I mean, I want to do the best thing by the club, and I was happy for him to stay with Sean and Chad. And I thought we were in good stocks there. But, you know, he was... I think he was pretty keen to be a starting NRL player, and I can't begrudge him for that, mate. I think we all agree that he is a starting half, and he's played very well this year. So, yeah, it was a tough one, mate, and, you know, hopefully he features in some more games for us at the back end this year and goes out on a high for the Sharks.
Oh, good on you, mate. Well done to you.
John Morris, lovely to talk to you.
Thanks, Bobber.
Congratulations on that win and getting the Prime Minister involved in the team song. I understand to be hitting the tackling bags this week, which is
great. I'd love to see that.
Wouldn't that be good?
I'd love to see him hitting and you holding the bag. I'd love to see you out there doing some of that as well.
And get the... Get the PNG Prime Minister involved. He'd love it, the PNG Prime Minister.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, John, I was going to talk to you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Congratulations. Yeah. There he goes. Sharks coach John Morris, plenty to come. We are going to run some things up the flagpole, see who salutes. We're in the NRL stock market. That is next. Satellite Triple M NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.